Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be Charlie Strait. Charles Theodore Strait, which was the full name of Charlie Strait, was born on January 6, 1891 in Chicago, Illinois. I looked up the 1910 U.S. Census and I find that he's listed there as Charles Jr., born January 1891, living at 5742 Armour Avenue in Chicago, Cook County, Illinois, with his father Charles, born in Ohio, and his mother Anna, born in August of 1875 in Sweden. Charlie Strait graduated from Wendell Phillips High School in 1909. This high school is now a Chicago landmark. It was designated as such in the year 2003. As far as I can tell, Charlie was really a first-class pianist, and once he graduated from high school, he began a 31-year career as accompanist, performer, composer, and band leader. His first professional job was with Eugene, known as Gene Green, who was a vaudeville artist known as the Ragtime King. Gene Green was born in 1877, died in 1930, and Green and Strait wrote a lot of the material that they performed. In 1913, Green and Strait went to England, where they recorded about 65 sites for Pathé, and while in England they had a command performance for the King and Queen. They sailed home from Southampton on March 5, 1913, arrived in New York on March 12, 1913 also. In 1913, Green and Strait went to Australia and they stayed there for about 6 months. In 1913, they were performing at the Tivoli Theatre in Melbourne, Australia. And I will read to you from a review of their act in the Argus. This was written on November 10, 1913, and it says, the audience showed an inclination to keep him, by that they mean that is Green, singing the quaint string halt melodies as long as his throat and the management would stand it, and he had difficulty in escaping after ragging for half an hour. Clad in dapper dress suit and silk hat, he inundated, I'm not sure this is what the newspaper says, ragtime from features. Oh, I see. Irradiated, I mean. Ragtime from features, legs, feet, arms, and fingers. With an infinite capacity for making weird noises, he combined clear enunciation. At the end of his own songs and stories, he took calls from the audience for tunes to be ragged. Not a little of the success of the turn was due to the piano accompaniment of Charlie Strait. Ragging, of course, means taking a tune and playing it with the typical syncopated rhythm of a rag. Well, let's get started with the music and listen to a couple of the recordings that Gene Green and Charlie Strait made in England. First, Ragtime Soldier Man. This is a composition by Irving Berlin, recorded in London in November of 1912. And then Rag, 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 recording in London also in March 1913. So here are Gene Green and Charlie Strait, 1912-1913.
Dry your eyes and don't be dreaming. You gotta stop it, you better drop it. I told you once before, I got to go to war. Now don't you worry, I've got to hurry, because my regiment will soon be leaving. But don't you feel blue, because I'm going off to war. I got to go, I got to go. A soldier man I've got to be. I've got to go, I got to go. I hear the bugle calling me. Oh my hon, you hurry up, hurry up. Get my gun, you hurry up. Can't you see that I've got to fight for love and my liberty, my honey dear, you better save your sympathy. And when you hear, and when you hear, I get too near the enemy. Kindly you carry me back to old Virginia. And when you get to me there, you say a prayer for your ragtime soldier man. I got to go, I got to go. A soldier man I've got to be. I got to go, I got to go. I hear the bugle calling me. Oh my hon, you hurry up, get my gun, you hurry up, can't you see that I've got to fight for love and the liberty, my honey dear, you better save your sympathy. And when you hear, and when you hear, I get too near the enemy, finally carry. Nowadays to see a show, you hear a ragtime. Any place you dine with a friend to buy some wine, you hear a ragtime. You hear it on the piano and the baby grand. You hear it in the morning from the organ grinder man. And everybody's singing Alexander's ragtime band. We're living in a ragtime land. Rag, 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 rag,
The music surely is the craze. Think it puts me in the days when I hear a syncopated melody. Sound as good as chicken frying in the pan for me with your rag, 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 rag. Yes, it's floating in the air. Seems to hear it everywhere. Turkey in the straw in the days of paw and maw. But nowadays it's nothing else but ain't you going, ain't you going away. A dog, a dog, a down upon the fog. A dog, a dog, on the wicked river. Nothing else above the rag, rag, rag. Girl across the hall, every morning she will bawl. Raggedy rag, 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 rag time. Man who lives next door, night and day you hear him roar. Rag time, rag time. The cook out in the kitchen plays it on the frying pan. The housemaid telephones and chews the rag with her best man. And in the morning you can hear the milkman rag his can. The gallery has a rag time fan. Oh, it's a rag, a rag, rag, a rag. A music surely is the craze. Seems to put me in the day when I hear a syncopated melody. Sounds as good as chicken frying in the pan to me. A rag, a rag, a rag, a rag. I guess it's floating in the air. I seem to hear it everywhere. Turkey in the straw in the days of paw and maw. But nowadays it's nothing else but ain't you going, ain't you going away. Down upon the Swanee River, there's nothing else but the rag, rag, rag. Oh, with your rag, your rag, your rag, your rag, your rag, your rag, your rag. The music surely is the craze, seems to put me in the days when I hear a syncopated melody. Sounds as good as chicken frying in the pan to me. You with your rag, your rag, your rag, your rag, rag, your rag, your rag. Yes, the floating in the air, I seem to hear it everywhere. Turkey in the straw, in the days of paw and maw. But nowadays it's nothing else but ain't you going, ain't you going away, 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 away. A dog, a dog, a down upon the fork, a dog, a dog, a donny rig and ever. Nothing else about the rag, rag, rag.
I failed to mention why Charlie Strait is related to Bix. It turns out that Bix played with the Charlie Strait Orchestra at the Rendezvous Café in Chicago for a couple of months, beginning in March of 1925. Okay, let's continue with the biographical information about Charlie Strait. In 1914-1916, Strait was based in New York and published Songs and Rags with two of the big publishing companies there, M. Whitmark and Sons and Jerome H. Remick and Company. His reputation grew, so he was lured back to Chicago. There he first made piano rolls for Rolla Artis, which was a subsidiary of the Rudolf Wurlitzer Company, and he usually would play the rags or the piano rolls under the name of Billy King. I have a copy or a scan of Rolla Artis piano roll 50298. It's entitled Mighty Nice, M-I-T-Y. And it gives Charlie Strait as the composer and Billy King as the performer. Of course, they are one and the same. 1917, Strait went to work for the Imperial Player Roll Company in Chicago as performer, arranger, and musical director. He recorded many piano rolls of novelty rags for Imperial as well as for the rival company QRS. QRS is the company that developed something called the marking piano, a machine that produced master rolls for player pianos by recording actual performances. Now, some of the roles that Charlie Strait made for the Imperial Company were I'll Come Sailing Home to You, Red Rose, Everybody Wants the Key to My Cellar, that was 1919, The Love Nest, 1920, Carolina Rolling Stone, 1921. These are novelty rags. There is a classical rag, exemplified, of course, by the work of Scott Joplin, but then late 19-teens and early 1920s, there was this other novelty rag type thing. Zez Comfrey, of course, was known in that area, and so was Charlie Strait. And another one that was also well known at the time was Roy Bargee. And it turns out that in 1919, Charlie Strait hired Roy Bargee as editor of popular songs for the production of piano rolls, as well as a composer of novelty rag songs. At the urging of Charlie Strait, Bargee wrote in 1920 Piano Syncopations, a set of 8 tunes, the most famous of which is Pianoflage. 6 of these were recorded, or produced, I should say, as piano rolls in 1920 and published in sheet music in 1922. I want to play one of these. I don't have, unfortunately, any piano roll or piano solo recording of Charlie Strait. But I have a recording of a Charlie Strait composition entitled Nice and Nifty. That's spelled K'NICE and K'NIFTY. It's interesting that they often change the spelling of well-known words in making their compositions. For example, there's another one called Rough and Ready, which is a collaboration of Roy Bargee and Charlie Strait, and that's spelled R-U-F-E-N-R-E-D-D-Y, Rough and Ready. Well, let's listen then to Nice and Nifty, a composition by Charlie Strait, as recorded by Roy Bargee on August 31st, 1922. Thank you. Charlie Strait and Roy Bargey were good friends, undoubtedly. Roy Bargey was hired by Charlie Strait, and it turns out that they also made the piano rolls, duets of Charlie Strait and Roy Bargey, among them Swanee in 1919. This was, of course, the hit for Al Jolson, composed by George Gershwin. Kismet, 1920. Whispering, a huge hit for Paul Whiteman. This was in 1921. Charlie Strait introduced Roy Bargey to Edgar Benson, who was an entrepreneur in Chicago, had many bands, and Edgar Benson hired Roy Bargey as the conductor of his Benson Orchestra of Chicago. And I'd like to play a couple of tunes recorded by the Benson Orchestra of Chicago when Roy Bargey was with the band. And these are two compositions by Charlie Strait, so that you get an idea of the kind of stuff that he was writing at the time. First, I'll play I Love You Sunday, introducing Everybody Calls Me Honey. This was recorded on September 24, 1920. That's a composition by Charlie Strait. And then I will play It Must Be Someone Like You. That was recorded in Chicago on April 13, 1921. And that is a composition of Charlie Strait and Roy Bargey. So let's listen then to the Benson Orchestra of Chicago, a couple of compositions by Charlie Strait, 1920 and 1921.
Thank you.
let's continue with a little bit of biographical information about Charlie Strait. The 1920 United States Census finds Charlie Strait living at 746 Garfield Boulevard in Chicago, Illinois, with his wife, Clara, age 29, and daughters Virginia, age 5, and June, age 2. And he gives his profession as manager of piano firm. It's interesting that in 1917, Charlie Strait had registered for the draft. And when he was asked, do you claim exemption from the draft? His response was, yes, only on account of wife and baby. Indeed, the baby was 2 years old at the time, and he was the sole support of wife and baby. In 1922, Charlie Strait left the Imperial Royal Company and led a band at the Rendezvous Café, where he stayed on and off for about 4 years. The Rendezvous Café was located in the second floor of the Rienzi Hotel on West Diversey Parkway, near the corner of North Clark Street. The place was known as Rienzi Gardens, but then changed its name to Rendezvous Café in 1923. Other bands that followed Charlie Strait at the Rendezvous Café were Mike Speciale, Lou Panico, and the band Polak. 1923 marks the beginning of Charlie Strait and his orchestra recording for Paramount. The first recording was in June of 1923, Body's Habit, a composition by Strait himself, and that was recorded a few months later in quick succession by King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band, the Midway Dance Orchestra, which was an Elmer Schaubel unit, and the Bucktown Five. Commenting on this recording, the recording of Body's Habit by Strait's band, Mark Beresford writes in the liners for the CD Chicago Rhythm, Al Turk, 1924-1926, the complete recordings, Charlie Strait, 1923-1926, and Gene Green, 1912-1913. This is Jazz Oracle CD number BDW8010, and Mark comments as follows. The ease with which the whole section take a unison break at fast tempo on Body's Habits is quite staggering. Few bands, black or white, could match at this time. So between June and December of 1923, the Charlie Strait Rendezvous Orchestra waxed 14 sites for Paramount, and I'd like to play a couple of those. First, Body's Habits, recorded in Chicago, June 1923. The composition of the band is given in the liners for the CD Chicago Rhythm. Charlie Strait, piano and directing. Lee Riley on cornet. Holmes Coltman on trombone. L. Kval, clarinet, alto sax. Ray Putnam on clarinet, tenor sax. Julian Davidson, banjo. George Hookham, brass, bass. And Don Morgan on drums. I'll follow that with another recording from the same day, June 1923, the same band, called Handpicked Blues. So let's listen then to the Charlie Strait Rendezvous Orchestra in 1923. Thank you. would like to play two additional recordings by Charlie Strait's Rendezvous Café Orchestra from 1923. First from October, Easy Melody, a composition by Larry Conley and Gide Radomich. I love this song. It has a chord progression which really gets me. The composition of the band is the same as I gave previously for Body's Habits. And I'll follow that with the last recording of Charlie Strait for 1923. This is December 1923, Forgetful Blues. So here is again Charlie Strait, Rendezvous Café Orchestra, 1923.
Thank you.
The Charlie Strait Orchestra was silent as far as recordings are concerned between the end of 1923 and 1926. In the meantime, in 1925, Bix Beiderbecke, after having spent some time in New York, sort of sitting with the California Ramblers, Bix showed up in Chicago on March 23, 1925, deposited his union card with the Chicago Local Number 10, and soon after was hired by Charlie Strait. The circumstances under which Bix was hired are interesting. According to Eddie Condon via John Steiner, and this is from Evans & Evans, Charlie Strait had heard Bix on the Wolverine Records and wanted Bix in his band. Charlie appealed to the local board for Bix to come without the usual transfer penalties. Charlie told them, "Get a man as good as Bix, and I won't need Bix." The board allowed Bix in without penalty. At first, Bix played with a relief band, the band that played from about 1 a.m. after the regular band ended its engagement until 5 a.m. The regular Charlie Strait band was a 10-piece band. The relief band consisted of six men, cornet, trombone, reeds, brass, bass, piano, and drums. The salary that Bix got as a member of the relief band was supplemented by the members of the main band, who contributed $10 apiece a week just for the satisfaction of having Bix play with the main band. Bix stayed with Charlie Strait for about 3 months and left in early July 1925 to join one of the Gold Cat outfits playing at Lakeside Casino in Ward Lake, Michigan. No recording of Bix with Charlie Strait has ever surfaced, in spite of the statement by Rex Downing. This is in the July-August 1956 issue of Record Research, quoted in Rost's discography, that he on trombone and Bix on cornet made a recording with Charlie Strait's orchestra in 1928. Well, let's get back to Charlie Strait, let's play a couple of recordings from the first recording session of Charlie Strait in 1926. For Brunswick, we have March 10, 1926, What a Man and Hi Diddle Diddle. The band has Gene Caffarelli on trumpet, another trumpet, which is unknown, Randall Miller on trombone, but Strong on clarinet, alto sax, Frank Stoddard, clarinet, alto sax, Dale Skinner, clarinet, tenor sax, Charlie Strait on piano, Frank Silvano banjo and guitar, Joe Gish on brass bass, Don Morgan on drums, and Hannah and Dorothea Williams on vocal. Now, this is interesting because in 1925, when Bix was with the Charlie Strait Orchestra, around May 30, 1925, according to Evans and Evans, Red Nichols stayed with Bix in Chicago. And in a communication to Evans on July 4, 1960, Red Nichols tells Evans, "I went to Chicago to see Hannah Williams, who with her sister Dorothea was singing with the Charlie Strait Orchestra. At the time, I was sweet on Hannah. She had been away from New York for some time, and I wanted to find out if we still had anything in common. I stayed with Bix at his hotel. I listened to him play with a Strait band, and he escorted me to a few places around town." Okay, so let's listen then to Charlie Strait in 1926. Let's continue with some biographical information about Charlie Strait. In 1926, the band traveled for the Music Corporation of America circuit of Midwest venues and had a long engagement at the Mulbach Hotel in Kansas City. This is the hotel's plantation grill was the site where the Coon Sanders Nighthawks gained national recognition through their late night broadcasts. Between 1922 and 1926, the Strait Band also appeared for special occasions at the Black Hawk Restaurant, one of the most desirable venues in Chicago. In fact, the Strait Band was at the Black Hawk for 2 weeks in September of 1926, just before the Coon Sanders Nighthawks opened there and began a regular broadcast over WGN in Chicago. Charlie Strait had an engagement at the Midnight Frolics. The Midnight Frolics had opened in 1921 in the site previously occupied by Freeburg's Dance Hall. The dance hall had been operated by Ike Bloom, the King of Brothels, from 1895 until 1914. Beginning in 1921, the Midnight Frolics hired some of the best bands. The shows at the Frolics were lavish, with several acts, dancers, singers, comedians, master of ceremonies, who also sang and did comedy. In fact, Joey Lewis began his career as MC in 1925 or 1926 at the Frolics, and they also had a dance band. The gala opening for Charlie Strait Orchestra's engagement included, among other highly popular performers, Sophie Tucker. It turns out that the Frolics was Al Capone's favorite nightclub. He had a 25% interest in it. The Midnight Frolics was raided by federal agents in February 1928 and was shut down and reopened in the spring of 1928, again with show and dance music provided by Charlie Strait. Then the Charlie Strait Band moved to the Rainbow Room. The Rainbow Room had opened in 1922 in the location of the old Rainbow Gardens, where Ruth Etting had appeared in the early 1910s and Isham Jones and his orchestra in 1918-1920. In spite of the Great Depression and changing musical tastes, Charlie Strait managed to do quite a bit of work as a musician in the 1930s, playing occasional dates on weekends with success. His band was, according to his obituary in the September 24, 1940 issue of the New York Times, one of the favorite orchestras at Chicago's Century of Progress in 1933-1934. In 1937, Charlie Strait appeared in various venues as Charlie Strait and his great WGN and CBS orchestra. In 1940, in order to make ends meet, Charlie Strait had a day job as a water sampler with the Metropolitan Sanitary District. Tragically, as he was working over a manhole on the evening of September 22, 1940, he was struck and killed by a passing car. So a good musician ends his life in a very tragic manner. Charlie Strait's musical legacy consists of dozens of compositions, approximately 100 recordings, and dozens of piano rolls. His piano compositions are still performed, and his records, some of which have been reissued on CD, are played on radio programs about 1920s music. 18 of his piano rolls have been reissued. Charlie Strait must be viewed in part as a novelty rag, composer, arranger, performer, one of several pianists in the late 1910s and early 1920s who took ragtime in its abstract essence as piano roll music and expanded it, developing a whole system of conventions, often based on the harmonic concepts of the Impressionists. They produced a unique style and body of music that came at least as fully realized as the classic rag. This is section from The American Rag, The Story of Ragtime from Coast to Coast by David A. Jason and Gene Jones. It's a Shermer Books, New York, New York. Also, Charlie Strait has been viewed by Mark Beresford as an important figure in the metamorphosis from ragtime to jazz. And he is also one of the best dance bands. He was also one of the... He led one of the best dance bands in Chicago in the 1920s. They were an elite outfit playing the finest hotels and venues. Okay, I'd like to finish today's program with two versions of Too Busy. This is one of my favorite compositions by Charlie Strait. One is a vocal and the other is an orchestral version. Both recorded on May 23rd, 1928. I believe these are the last two recordings of the Charlie Strait band. Gene Caffarelli on trumpet, another trumpet who's unknown, an unknown trombone, unknown clarinet, alto sax, unknown clarinet, alto sax, unknown clarinet, tenor sax, unknown violin, Charlie Strait on piano, Frank Silvano on banjo and vocal in the first version that I will play, possibly John Kuhn on brass bass and an unknown drums. So, from May 23rd, 1928, one of my favorite compositions, two versions, one vocal, one instrumental, Charlie Strait and his orchestra, 1928, Too Busy.
Thank you.
this brings to an end this program dedicated to Charlie Strait. I hope you have enjoyed it. My interest in Charlie Strait comes, of course, from the fact that Bix played with him for about 3 months, 1925 in Chicago. But also because I wrote a little article for the section of the Dr. Jazz website entitled World War I Draft Registration Cards. And many contributors contributed pieces on various musicians who had been registered for the draft in World War I. And among these is Jelly Roll Morton, Louis Armstrong, Roy Bargy, and my contribution on Charlie Strait. I'm expanding that brief biography of Charlie Strait into a full-fledged article, and that's where I got all the information that I have included in today's broadcast, which I hope, as I said, you have enjoyed. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive. If you contend, this is